Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. We once again have a Skype show because we are at various areas of the country. And this week we are delighted to be joined by Lee once again from Dorset Spurs. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good to have you back. Nice for you to wave at the podcast listeners. We have Mr. Lee Curtin. Welcome back, Lee, regular.
Good evening. Good evening.
And we have Big Bad Don, Ponder Mike MC. Nice work.
Hello,
guys.
Hello.
So, okay, cool. Well, good to have you on board, guys. We sometimes find that the shows that after a defeat are a bit more fun to do, weirdly. We're not obviously pretending to be like Scum TV. We're not going to start, you know, just shouting and swearing and saying blood and fam. But, you know, it is quite interesting sometimes for us to analyse defeats, try and work out where it went wrong, because we all think we've got these, you know, incredible football brains, which is why we do this. And so we want to hopefully try and work out what exactly did happen, why it went wrong, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, we can fix it come Wednesday. So if we can obviously look at the result to begin with, it was a bit of a rubbish performance in general. I don't really think there was sort of any major areas to look at. I mean, when I looked at the team, I thought it was a really good team. I thought the setup was good. I liked the fact he'd gone three at the back because of their front two. I liked him playing Rose. And even though I was a little bit scared, I was obviously pleased with Kane to go up front. I just felt like there was just not enough performances and not enough people stepped up. We just didn't really handle their front two. We didn't handle their press. And I felt that there was a few players, Aurier, Eriksen, Sissoko, who didn't really deal with the press well enough. You know, when you have a team that are pushing you up so high, and putting pressure on the ball and being strong and aggressive, you've got to be technically sound. You've got to be quick on the ball. You've got to pass it well. And we just didn't do that. And so we didn't create. And then obviously, you know, the goals were frustrating to concede. The last goal I thought was obviously just quite lucky the way that it came around. But it was a disappointing result all round. So I'm going to start with Lee Curtin first. What was your overall view of the defeat, Lee?
Well, I think you summed it up there, mate. It was hugely disappointing for a number of reasons. There was so many players that just didn't really turn up. But I'll go a little bit different to you in terms of I like the formation, but I wasn't happy with the personnel, and I wouldn't have gone with Foyth at the back, and that turned out to be proven as the game went on. And I actually wouldn't have started with Harry. And when I looked, and when you look back at it, he was sharp. He was very sharp. So his work rate, I know we're looking forward and we're talking about trying to get him ready and get him match fit for the upcoming games. He didn't look like he needed it. He looked like he was ready to go. He doesn't look like he'd been away. And I think in actual fact, I think we upset the balance of the team from the last couple of games. I think we just found a little bit of a rhythm. We just found a little bit of a way to get through games. I thought Llorente was just coming to a little bit of decent match sharpness. I think players were just starting to work with him. I think Sonny enjoys the space that he gets working off Llorente a bit more than Harry. And he's the main focal point as well. And then chucking back to Foyth. Burnley are up and unders. They're big boys. You know, they put it about you. And then Foyth isn't physically ready for the Premier League. He's still very slight as centre-backs go, and they targeted him, and they made that very clear, and they admitted it after the game in interviews. That's the one they went after. And I just found it very weird that it wasn't Sanchez. And they press high, and much could be said about Sanchez, as could be Foyth, in terms of them on the ball make me bloody nervous. So when they're pressing high, I don't want to see Foyth trying to pass the ball around. I don't want to see Sanchez trying to pass the ball around. However, Sanchez can compete. He will give you that. He will compete with them physically. We were too slow moving the ball. We had too many touches on the ball. Winks never got on the ball, so he couldn't really move it quicker. Eriksen he wasn't really there. He kind of just dropped out again like last few weeks. I thought he'd arrived. I thought he was back. The game kind of passed him by a little bit. So, yeah, you're right, too many underperformers. And when it came to it, I just think the personnel were slightly off. But they did look a little bit like Harry almost kind of, the balance of bringing Harry back kind of upset them a little bit.
Would that almost like complacency in terms of, I know sometimes we can be guilty of that against the lesser teams. And do you think that, obviously, we had a really big win last week, a really amazing win, which we got a lot of plaudits for, so the club was buzzing. And obviously, Harry coming back was another plus. And do you think maybe they then just were a little bit more, we've got this type sort of scenario? And, that can happen sometimes. But I just felt there wasn't that urgency. There wasn't that pressure. And I agree. They just underestimated what Burnley could do.
But Burnley ain't going to surprise you. they stayed in this league with the same kind of setup. They don't come with nothing new. They're in your face, and they've got the big boys up top, and they try and whip those crosses in and those long balls in. And I mean, the second goal was just absolutely, it was pitiful. But you wouldn't see it on a Sunday morning. And they've literally hoisted the ball up the pitch from their own half, and it's taken one bounce. And Aurier's let the man flick it over his head. He was actually facing the stands. He was facing the touchline. His body was complete wrong shape. He's flicked it over his head. He turns. He gets himself in a position where he could just head it back to Toby, who can then face in the play, clears it up the pitch. And he hooked it himself into the middle of the pitch. I mean, it was terrific. It was horrible. It was so bad to watch. And you take away, all said and done, you take a point away from there and go, we were awful. Let's take the point. And we're still about it, and people can still talk about us. But we can't do that. We can't give goals away like that. It's not good enough.
Lee, what was your take on it? Other Lee, obviously we've got two Lees on the show, which makes it quite difficult for me. But Lee, what was your take on the performance? Was there any real particular reason that you could see that you could put your finger on, or was it a culmination of factors?
I've got to be honest, it's quite difficult to follow Lee, isn't he? Because I think he's pretty much summed it all up, to be fair. I'm like you, I looked at the team and I thought, that looks a decent team. I kind of went, why is he playing Foyt? And the only thing I can think of is he's got one eye on the game against Chelsea in the midweek, because he does love to move the players around and share around. He's made big noises about the fact that it's a squad, and he believes in the squad. So I think for him, he's probably got one eye on Chelsea, thinking, I could probably get Sanchez in there against Chelsea, which will be a bit more solid, and that maybe Burnley would have been a bit of an easier game. The thing with Foyt, I think he likes to play. So he likes to get it at his feet, and he likes likes to turn people and move the ball forward and that. And we've seen some good touches at that. But as the other Lee said, he is quite a slight build, or he looks that way. So if they're going to target him, then that kind of says it all, really, doesn't it? And again, at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have thought that I would say that when Sissoko's not on form that we struggle. But he did struggle. He didn't seem in the game at all. And that's, that shows how far he's come this season, that he's not played well, so we haven't played well. And again, I also agree with the issue about having Llorente, and I think Kane probably looked the freshest and the most up for it. But I would have probably brought him on rather than had him from the start. And that's hard to say when you consider, Harry Kane, if he's fit, he plays. But to be honest, I just thought, with Llorente kind of just picking up a little bit of form and getting in there, and you saw how much it meant to him when he scored against Dortmund, that maybe this was the turning point for him. If he could get, just a few more minutes and stuff like that, then maybe a different story. And at the end of it all, we had every attacking option on the pitch at the end of that game, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had no one else you could have put on there attacking-wise. So we kind of had every option there, And for me personally, I just think, you mark it up, one of them games, you don't want to lose it, but we did. And again, a draw would have been a good result in the end.
Yeah. Dom, are you in agreement? I mean, Danny Rose had a bit of a poor game, which was frustrating. especially put, in terms of the balls that he was putting in the box. He was getting to the byline. He was doing what we want, which Aurier didn't do. Aurier was just basically doing a Trippier and just like crossing it from like the sort of like the edge of the touchline, which was obviously really frustrating. And obviously he did a very good cross for the Vertonghen goal against Dortmund, but that's still, he needs to be getting in behind those defences. As we know from a wing-back position, as we go on about it all the time. And I still think, I mean, God, how many times are we going to say Kyle Walker-Peters' name on the show at right wing-back or right back? He has to play. He offers so much more. And I just, it infuriates me every time I see a performance like that from Aurier. He might do the odd good thing in the game, but he's suspect and he doesn't offer enough going forward. One cross the whole game is not enough. Even if it is an absolute peach, it's not enough. And it just, it kills me. Anyway, Don, over to you. What was your take?
Just adding on to what you say, I've complete agreement with both Lees. But I'm in agreement with you about Aurier. But I would also say the same about Trippier. Last week told me something. When we were playing against Dortmund, I know it's unique for Jan to be playing, you know, at that wing-back, full-back position. But that's the standard. The amount of crosses that he puts in is what I expect from our first-choice full-back. So, you know, this isn't, you know, you're asking them to do anything that, you know, is very difficult. This guy's playing at centre-back and he's able to put in quality deliveries in time and time again. So, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed, I think.
But he also was going forward. That's the point. He was going past that, you know, the 18-yard line. He was going beyond that, you know, which is what a wing-back needs to do, you know, and especially when you've got players that are able to benefit from those kind of crosses in the box. But if you do those little floated balls or, you know, Burnley have got a massive defence. It just cross it in like that. It just really frustrated me. What was your take on the other? I mean, I think I completely agree with what both Lisa said in terms of the Foyt situation, and I also agree with Dorset Lee in terms of, I think that the Chelsea game probably did have a factor, but you know, he should have really played it the other way around, because you know, even if Chelsea go with Higuain up front, it's not the same amount of pressure that you're going to get from the two Burnley boys up top, not at all. You know, they are full on. So, you know, that would have been a better game to play Foyt in, and they should have stuck with Sanchez. He was definitely missed. He was definitely missed, I thought.
I felt that Sanchez has missed. I did feel, though, that Pochettino made very positive substitutions throughout the match. You know, who would have thought that he would have made a substitution on the 60th minute? So he was after, you know, he wanted to win the game. And the substitutions that he made don't necessarily work, but they were positive. So you can't knock him for that. Let's be honest, Burnley are rough house. They are a rough team. And Eriksen was bullied. He was bullied. And it wasn't nice to watch that, seeing a player that's supposed to create for us, really, almost just like Lee mentioned earlier on, just going to his shell. And that was quite frustrating to see. And again, it's something that, you know, you wouldn't expect to happen against Chelsea. You expect him to come out, you know, and show his true worth.
Well, not everyone's going to let us play. And that's when you need an Eriksen to go, let me go and get the ball. And he's got to go looking for it. And he didn't go looking for it. And Winks didn't really get on it. And Sissoko was out of sorts, I think, mainly because everybody's kind of running into his position, running into his hole. He didn't even get on the ball. He hardly got on the ball, not even to make one of his crazy horse runs. You know, you're like, that game was begging out for Sissoko to get on the ball and just go marauding down the pitch, you know, and chucking Matey into row B and the other one into row C as he goes. You know, we just couldn't do it. We got the ball and we gave it away, and they put it straight back into our final third. And Woods and Barnes, they just pressed so quick and just made us panic. It was embarrassing. We just didn't, nobody got the ball down and said 2-3 passes at any sort of decent tempo. Just didn't happen. And we can't play slow. Nobody will let us play. They're not going to stand there and watch us play. And that was frustrating.
I think for me, also, actually, just talking about the substitutions that Don mentioned, I think it was definitely attacking moves, but I think it was probably a dangerous move, which maybe did backfire in terms of going to a back four. Even though Foyt wasn't having the best of games, I think it still put a little bit more pressure on the fullbacks. It did give us Lamello up front, but I just felt that we were even a little bit more lightweight at the back, and we needed, I thought, numbers back there, because they were just pumping so many bodies into the box. We needed more defenders, I thought, than Lamella coming on, who again didn't really do anything. So do you think there's any reason why we can sort of like put not put the blame on, but is there something behind this performance, or was it just like one of those days? Like, I remember we had Liverpool at home where we played badly. Apart from that, I think we've been reasonably consistent. We've been getting over the line sometimes in games where we maybe shouldn't have. Obviously against Leicester had a plethora of chances and they couldn't score. We maybe shouldn't have won that game in terms of if you're looking at that kind of aspect. But, this seems to be a different scenario in that recently we have been creating more chances, but we just didn't deal with just what they were offering. I mean, so can we, obviously in social media, we had the usual meltdowns, as you all see, Poch out, this, that. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I still can't get my head around it, to be honest. It's just unbelievable. And Dorset Lee, you put together a video montage of some of the social media comments, and it is like, we'll put the link into the show on the page, because it's unbelievable what they say. And then you just look at the position that we're in, like 6 points off top, or wherever it is, I think it's 6 points off top, third in the league, potentially in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, new stadium on the way. But yeah, get rid of the manager, get rid of Levy. It's just absolute lunacy. I can't get my head around it. We were all pissed off at the batch. We could all see that, that the performance is way under par from players that we know can do better. But, look at the bigger picture, look at the league table, and just like, it mystifies me. I honestly can't believe it. Maybe it's today's fan base. Maybe it's today's society, the whole social media thing. People are so quick to just judge and quick to just, criticize. They're probably half trolls as well, but I just could not believe it. So back to my original question, long-winded, apologies. But reasons behind it. I mean, complacency potentially. Is Poch not necessarily motivating them for these games? I mean, what do you think?
I don't think that at all. I think that I think he was probably a victim of his own urgency to want to win the game. Like you were saying about bringing on more and more attackers. And as I said, we had every attacking option on there, which left us a little bit lightweight at the back. That's because he's going for the win. He wasn't satisfied with the draw. He was going for the win. And then that leaves you always with that opportunity that something freaky can happen, that someone makes a mistake and it bobbles off and the defender can't get there and in it goes. So I personally just think it's one of those things. I think the players were motivated for it. I think they wanted to win it. But a team like Burnley will always bully you and push you and not give you the space and all the rest of it. And a lot of our players are very much like to have a good touch, like to pass it, move around, have a bit of space to run around. If you've got none of that, then, it kind of leaves you with, let's hoof the ball in, and we're not set for that. Our players don't do that. Do you see what I mean? It's not our style of play. And I think it kind of just leaves you running out of ideas. You're constantly hitting a brick wall of defence. And then you run out of ideas. And if Eriksen's not there to just unlock it with a little piece of magic, that's it. You're just stuck with it. And in terms of the media meltdown, I just have to say on that, the thing that worries me more about those comments was, have you seen how many likes and retweets and stuff that they got? I just couldn't believe it. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, it's one game. There's still 11 games left. Anything can happen. Just stick with it. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and support someone else, are you? So why upset yourself?
I wouldn't put it past half of them, to be honest. Seriously, it's absolutely crazy. On a positive note, Kane's performance, I thought, coming back for an injury, I mean, Lee, you said it yourself. He looked sharp. He looked like, he'd never been away, really. I thought he was, that shot obviously to the top corner was solid. He went into a few challenges. He didn't seem like he was scared to go in for a challenge. So, you know, looking at the positives as we always try and do, I think, you know, his performance and the fact he's now pretty much back as a first choice was definitely a positive for me.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, you know, the one thing that I really kind of stuck out for me was just before he scored that goal, he could have gone down for a penalty. A certain player for a team up north might have just easily kind of had a role around there.
Controversial. So we've heard today that Pochettino has been charged with misconduct, I think it was, or bringing the game into dispute or whatever. Whatever those crazy charges are that the FA bring, it was a real crazy one to see, because Pochettino is a, you know, he's a very measured man, he's a very calm man, you know. Obviously he celebrates a goal now and again, but he never gets like that. And there wasn't really anything that Mike Dean did to make him do it. So we heard or see, in terms of the fact that obviously. The goal, the first goal, the Tongans, it was obviously, you know, it wasn't a corner. The Danny Rose challenge obviously could have been a sending off potentially. But apart from that, there wasn't really anything that Mike Dean did terribly wrong. But we're hearing that it was something that he said to Pochettino after. There's rumours that it was, I mean, one of the rumours is ridiculous, is saying that it's actually... that he said, out of the title race, unlucky. That was apparently one of the rumours. Do we think that Mike Dean would have actually said that, Don? Do you think if Mike Dean's capable of doing such a thing?
I don't think he's capable of saying something like that. However, I do think he said something. on Sky Sports earlier today, they interviewed another person that we probably don't like in Clattenburg. And he said that something was said in order for Pochettino to react in that way. So I don't think it's as blatant as, ha ha, you're out of the title race. I don't think that that's something that a referee would
no
do.
No way he would have said that. There's no way.
No, he wouldn't There's have said that.
But
something might have been said. Yeah. You know, the other thing is will we ever find out? We don't know. Mike Dean is mic'd up. So there's a mic there and everything's recorded throughout the entire game. So whatever was said, the FA will find out about that. And I'm sure they'll pick up Pochettino's voice as well.
If it's Mike Dean that said it, they're not going to come out and say this is what he said, obviously. And if it can pick up what Pochettino said, then they'll say that. But they're not, you know, if they've got Mike Dean doing something on the mic, they're not going to report that because... But Pochettino should say it in a hearing if it probably comes down to that. Then, you know, he should try and fight his corner because some, you know, it's just so weird to see. I don't know what it was. What was your take on it?
To see our manager like that was very, very disturbing, I thought. Because he's never lost it like that before.
Even when the players have lost it,
he seems to be as calm as you like. So, very strange.
Lee Curtin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's I mean, the thing with Mike Dean is he wants to be the main attraction, doesn't he? He's turned into this bit of a circus act. So he's obviously provoked him. He said something provocative, and it wasn't so much Pochettino he needed to be worried about. It was probably like 4'2" Jesus, who's, you know, screaming at him that you can't say that. You know, he was absolutely livid about it. So it was very clear that he said something provocative or unprofessional. What the FA have to do now is they've got the mics. They do listen to it. They do listen to all of the transcripts. And if he has said something inappropriate, they have to deal with him. They don't necessarily have to. They don't have to make it public what he was said. And Pochettino, in return, I don't think will make it public, as will Tottenham Hotspurs will not make it public. And that will be an agreement between Tottenham and the FA or the Premier League. But Mike Dean's obviously provoked him. He's obviously said something that's not what you expect of somebody in his capacity officiating a game. But like I said, whether it comes out or not, I very much doubt it will. It won't come out. I don't think it will come out. They won't allow it to come out. And he will get fined. Pochettino will get fined just for his reaction. That's football. So I think we'll see how much he gets fined in terms of how much Mike Dean had to do with it. So if it's around the $8,000 mark, that's no different to Klopp and matey from Wolves running onto the pitch. And that'll be a shake your hand, thank you very much, and we move forward. The only silver lining I get from all of that is hopefully we don't see Mike Dean refereeing another one of our games this season.
Well, he was meant to be fourth official against Chelsea on Wednesday, but he's been taken off the game specifically to avoid that confrontation. So, we've got a swap on that one. So, watch this space. Lee Taylor, what are your thoughts? What do you think was said? What riled in that much?
Maybe he said it's the Falklands, not Malvinas. I don't know.
Oh my god!
No, I don't know. I just liked it. I was good to see him get on the pitch like that and get so riled up. I don't like Mike Dean anyway, and I thought he should have gone further and slapped him one. So
yeah, he did. I don't think he had a great game. I know you said he didn't do much wrong, but there was a few decisions in there. I think it's very harsh on Llorente. For Burnley chucking it around so physically, anytime Llorente kind of went anywhere near for a challenge, he blew up.
I did agree with that actually. Yeah, there was definitely. He booked him for one, and all,
he booked him. Yeah,
it was ridiculous. Like,
you seen that on the replay? He was watching the ball.
I completely agree.
He just backs into their defender. That's all he did, and gets booked.
Eyes on the ball as well. And
I think that Pochettino's anger, it doesn't just stem from what was said. I think now I'm looking back, there was a number of things that happened in that game. Little things that happened. I agree it was frustrating from a team's perspective playing against Burnley. They stopped us from playing. So there's definitely a frustration from Pochettino in that regard. But I think the referee had a hand in making it worse for us by not giving us decisions during that game.
The game just meant a lot to Pochettino, didn't it? You could just see it. He was riled up. It's a really tough game. It's what he wanted out of it. So he comes on frustrated. Mike Dean plays it down, says, yeah, whatever, and maybe mocks him a little bit. And that's what sets him off. You know, it's a big passionate situation, I think. He probably just all boiled over.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Mike Dean listens to the show regularly. So, Mike, we'd love to hear what you said. And, in other news, you are a beep. Okay, so it's now time to preview the Chelsea game on Wednesday. The first time that I've been to Stamford Bridge, so I'm quite looking forward to it. We obviously had a terrible record there until last season when we had an amazing victory. And then obviously when we went back there this season in the Cup, it was a very frustrating game. We were short on numbers. We looked quite leggy and we didn't manage to win on penalties, even though they didn't really threaten much themselves. Obviously, we just had quite a few defensive mistakes in the first half, which gave them a 2-goal lead. What are your thoughts on their condition, the Chelsea players, after yesterday? Obviously, they played 120 minutes. It was quite a full-on game, quite a controversial game in the end with the whole keeper-kepper scenario. So the performance was a lot better from them, obviously, than in recent games, and especially, obviously, against City previously. But at the end of the day, they did still lose, and Sarri is looking a very, very, very troubled man. So are we playing them at a good time, first of all, Dom?
I think we are playing them at a great time, where there's so much uncertainty as to, a number of players even being at Chelsea next season, not to mention the manager, which we probably will. I think we're the worst team that they could have right now. And I believe that they will revert to a more defensive stance moving into this game. They're not going to give a lot away, but they're not going to come forward. They're not going to try to win the game. It'll probably be similar to, in some ways, to the Battle of the Bridge, where they, you know, they maybe try to get a goal and then just, you know, shut up shop if that's, you know, if they can get a goal against us. But they're not in a good place, and we need to take advantage of that. This is the game that I like to win every season. Above anything else, I love to beat Chelsea. I can't tell you how much I love it, but this is the game where we, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we still have title credentials, but it would be a massive victory for us to end Sarri's time at Chelsea, basically. Effectively, that's what we're doing.
Would you agree with that, Lee Curtin?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely is now the time to play them. And as you pick up on, it's been, it was a hard 120 minutes they played. So physically, it was draining. Mentally, it probably drained the hell out of not just the players, but the staff as well. And then with, obviously, I mean, I thought player managers was a thing of the past. I didn't realise that player managers. So big shout out to Chelsea with their player manager goalkeeper, like top man. Listen, they've got a lot of sorting out to do. And even publicly, you know, the media team were flung into action. And I don't know who their media man is or media woman, but their overtime must be unbelievable at the moment, because that club is sending out media stories like nobody's business. But listen, they keep this cause. He's caused something massive there, and their manager is on his last legs. And you know, as Don points to, they've got two transfer windows where they're not allowed to sign anybody. And as I was looking around at the moment with Madrid in all sorts of bother, you know, thinking, well, maybe this is his last season in the Prem as well. I'm not going to hang around and knock around with Tammy Abrahams when I could be abroad somewhere playing with a Benzema or, you know. Listen, they're all over the place, and they've got to try and hang in there now and fight for that fourth place, because there's another, you know, rough and tough and scummy mob just around the corner who've just popped into that place as well. So they got their own battle. So I think I'm a little bit different, Don. I think they might come and have a little go at it. They'll definitely physically try and compete with us. But if, you know, I think we're hurt. I think we're hurt from Saturday, and I think we'll do what we do best, and we'll bounce back.
Lee, what were your thoughts?
I think I agree. I think there's probably never been a better time to play them, but for me, there's never a good time to play them, because they are a hoodoo, horrible, scummy club. So I'm never going to take anything for granted with them. I almost felt sorry for Sarri on Sunday. And if that had been me, I'd have been on the pitch dragging that fella off by his ears, right? But you're right. I don't think there's a better time to play them in terms of the state that they're in. I mean, their fans are against them, and not just against the manager, they're actually against the players, because they can see it's an aging squad, and they can see that they're not playing for the manager, and they're not, you know, they're all kind of just looking out for themselves. There's no team spirit there, and I think they'll want to bounce back in the same way that we'll want to bounce back. But the key for me is our team spirit. We have a far better team spirit than they do. We have a far more togetherness than they do, and so I'll be watching it, you know, with my eyes covered, because, hey, you know, 41 years in of watching it, you know, what else am I going to do? But I honestly do think this is our opportunity to put that to bed, and move on to the other scum at the weekend.
So selection-wise, would we bring Sanchez back in? Would we stick with a back three? Would we bring in Trippier, or would we... Obviously, we'd like to bring in Kyle Walker-Peters, but he's not going to do that. So, would there be much change to that lineup for you, Dom?
I don't know how. You know, I don't really think Danny Rose had a great game against Burnley.
No, he didn't.
And if Ben Davies is available, then I would expect him to start against Chelsea. He wouldn't, you know, if we hadn't played against Burnley, I'd probably be saying Rose. But I think that, you know, Ben Davies is probably, you know, is a steady constant when he's when he is on the field. He's not as dynamic or as exciting as Danny Rose, but I think he'll be. Then Foyth, I don't really want to see to be part of the game against Chelsea. He reminds me, in some ways, of a young. I hate comparing the players, but we're playing Chelsea. But in some ways, he's a bit like David Luiz, where he's trying. You know, he spends David Luiz physically is a lot stronger, so you can't really get him off the ball. But you know, he has those lapses of concentration where he doesn't. You know, he forgets he's got the ball and he gets nicked off of him. We've got to start Kane again. I think he's ready to go. And we just hope for a better performance, really. You know, we didn't do enough against Burnley. And I really, really hope, as Lee said, that we're going to bounce back against Chelsea, that, you know, we are hurt and that we want to put it right. So that's all we can ask for off the players. But I don't think we need to change a lot, maybe just Foyth, because this is a, you know, this is Chelsea. So we need to make sure that we don't have as many mistakes as last time.
Yeah. What are your predictions then, lads? What are we going for?
Well, we know what your predictions are, don't we?
Well, I mean, it makes sense, guys. You know, they might score and we might score more. So, you know, 2-1 is the way to go. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm actually going to go.
It was 2-1 on Saturday, wasn't it, eh?
Yeah.
2-1 on Saturday.
I'm going to go 2-1. Does anyone know if Ali's back for the game?
No, I don't know.
Definitely March for him. I'm going 2-1 though. I think we're going to go for that.
Weirdos.
Go for that. We're missing Chelsea's chief slayer, so that they can count themselves lucky because Ali has them up for fun, doesn't he? So
yeah, very true actually.
2-1 for me, I think.
Okay, and Lee?
I don't think they're going to score. I think he will go with Davison at the back. So I don't think they're going to score. I think it's going to be 2-0.
I love the fact you said, I don't think you're going to score with a massive grin on your face. It's brilliant. Yeah.
The eternal optimist.
We're going to shut them out. Brilliant. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. I've just realised that we also have a game on Saturday, but I think because of the magnitude of Wednesday's game and the magnitude of Saturday's game, we're going to have to do another show on Thursday, I think. So I'm not going to do the preview to the Arsenal game now. We'll talk about it on Thursday, and hopefully you guys will be able to join me then. So thank you very much for taking part once again, all the way from Dorset, Mr. Lee Taylor, all the way from somewhere closer, Mr. Lee Curtin, and somewhere even further away, down in deepest, darkest Kent, we've got Big Bad Don. Thank you so much for joining, guys. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much for listening and watching, folks. Once again, we are the Thing I Love Most show. We are available on YouTube if you wanted to see our lovely faces. Even though we do Skype shows quite regularly, we do also have a pub where we film. It's called the Blue Coats Pub in Tottenham High Road, that formerly the Pride of Tottenham. So if you want to come and have a beer with us, and we record on Mondays. TTILM Show is our Twitter handle, and we're on Instagram, and we're also on Facebook as well. So please do continue to support. We're really growing now, which is great to see. And we do appreciate all of the comments and the likes and the subscriptions that you've been giving us. We're just really looking to grow. And if you do want to get involved, then you're more than welcome to please get in contact with the show, and we'll get you on. So fingers crossed. 3 points, a good win, a clean sheet would be amazing on Wednesday. But either way, 3 points would be good. So come on, you Spurs, and we'll see you next time.